everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of season 11 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we currently our way through the 2001 HBO award-winning miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today to finish off his three-episode arc from the Next Scene podcast is Sean German. Welcome back once again, Sean.
Thank you. Once again, thank you so much for having me. This has been, it's been educational as well as entertaining, watching, both watching and listening, and then now being a guest. All has been wonderful. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I finish out on a strong note.
I have no doubt you will. But I like the, I like the Marty McFly quote, so that's good. It's been educational.
Yeah, it's been educational.
All right, so episode 74 begins with Doc finally finding Heffron and ends with Renee looking quite hopeful. So we left things off yesterday with Doc Rowe running around trying to help a bunch of the guys. He helped Joe Toy with his trench foot by giving him some advice, even though Joe Toy is probably not too happy about having to take that advice, but sometimes the doctor's orders are the doctor's orders, right? And
exactly.
Yeah. And then he continues looking for Babe and finds Babe right at the end of yesterday's segment. So today we get to see Babe once again. And Doc is in the foxhole with Babe, and Doc says Gaia. He goes Heffron, and he then takes out the chocolate bar that he had been given from Renee, and decides to give it to Babe. So it's an interesting way for him to. I mean, you mentioned yesterday that he's seeking out Babe in order to give him a mental health visit. So, it's interesting.
Yeah, so the question was, the question you had asked at the time was, why is he seeking him out? And I think, I think he kind of answers that question with, because that chocolate is sort of a dear resource. It's, I'm guessing that's something that's in very short supply. So, just as much as the morphine or his other supplies. So, if he's going to, you take that out and give that to a soldier, you got to think, it's a serious situation where, some kind of something is needed, and maybe it's, not a bandage or plasma, because it's not a, it's not a physical, not that kind of wound, but whatever he can do to help, he's a full service medic. So, decides this is the time. This is what he's been saving that chocolate for.
Okay, so I have a yes or no question for you. Do you think that does chocolate help Doc or not?
Yeah. It's a little bit of sugar, a little bit of caffeine. Just the taste kind of. Yeah, I would say yes, it helps.
Okay, and you would be correct. Chocolate can help manage minor emotional shock, stress, and anxiety, because it releases endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine, which boost mood and calm the nervous system. The sugar provides a quick comfort boost, while dark chocolate specifically lowers stress hormones like cortisol. So then the question is raised, did Renee give Doc Rowe the chocolate because she fancied him, or did she give it to him as another aid in order to help the men? I don't know the answer to that. It's an open question. What do you think?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. I think she's, like all these people in this situation, they're trying to help out and help everyone as much as they can. I said it the other day. I think that him speaking French and just his demeanor, kind of tugged at her heartstrings a little bit, or made her a little bit more affectionate. We don't know. I'm just assuming she doesn't, throw in an extra bar of chocolate for every medic who comes in looking for supplies. I do think, she felt some kind of something special. Not necessarily romantic, but some kind of connection with Jean Roe here. And and she probably sensed he was someone who would use it the right way. He didn't just tear off the wrapper and eat it right away, which, given the situation and everything he's been through, we wouldn't blame him. We would allow him that indulgence, but we also know that's not the kind of guy he is. He's someone who is going to save it for the right time.
Right. Okay. Very good. I don't know. I would my initial thought is that she gave it to him because she fancied him and wanted him to have the chocolate. I don't think she necessarily wanted to use it, wanted to give it to him as a tool to help other people with their stress or shock, but Doc Rowe decided that that's what he was going to use it for. So, and I don't blame him for doing that. It makes sense. Babe didn't necessarily want to take it, and he just forces him, and then Babe then says, "All right," and he breaks off a little piece and gives it to him for him to try to I guess lower the effect of shock and stuff like that. And then we actually get more of an explanation from Babe as to what's going on. He says, says I promised him that if he got hit, I'd get his stuff and bring it to his mom. He goes, now the crowds will strip him. He goes, hey, no, okay, it's not okay. I should have got to him. And he just then, Doc Rowe doesn't know how to respond to that and just gives him a big hug. And the other guy in the foxhole also hugs him. So, Babe is going through definite emotional stress at this point about the fact that they added in this idea that Babe had promised Julian that he would return his stuff, which tells us more about the character, about him making a promise like that, because that's a pretty big promise to make to to a friend when you don't know what the situation is going to be like.
Yeah, because it's not, I mean, it's a hypothetical, but it's like a very realistic hypothetical. I mean, I can, if I'm, stuff can happen. Like I can be out, go out with friends, and hey, if I get into a car accident on my way home, tell my wife I love her or something like that. But it's, I probably won't be in an accident, and if I am, I'll be wearing my seatbelt. It probably won't be fatal. Like I do expect I'm going to get home. Versus, these guys in this position, it's not that much a stretch. It's not that much a hypothetical to be like, yeah, this is, please do this for me if something happens to me. And going back to talking about how well made this is, and kind of the effect it has, at least on me as a viewer, the points where they break the episodes, because like some series would have like, oh, that's an end of the episode right there, and kind of just leave you on that. Whereas, I mean, they go to the dark place. They show us the psychological turmoil, that can be worse than the physical, strain and the physical injuries. But then they followed up. We see, that's not the end of the episode. That's not the cliffhanger where they end it. And we kind of we see the next day, and we see what's going to come, and we get a little respite, a little recovery. But yeah, man, when he's yeah, oh, I promised him I was going to take his stuff back to his mother, and I couldn't do it. Man, that's it's it, it's hard to watch, and it must have been even harder to do.
Yeah,
I
no,
can only
I
imagine.
completely agree with you with that. But I mean, one of the interesting things about the the whole scenario and stuff like that is that again we don't know if it really happened or not, but it's still depicting it for us, and with regard to what you're saying about the way that they end the various the 10 parts, we're not really left with very many cliffhangers. Okay, like I mean, for instance, between part one and two, so we know that they're on their way to jumping, on the during the night of D-Day, that type of thing. But it's not as if they leave us, oh, what's gonna happen, that type of thing. And then, the end.
And it makes sense because this is history. Even if you're not familiar with EZ Company and the particulars of all their battles, we know how the war went. We know how things are gonna go, and on a high level, like the broadest stroke. So, yeah, it'd be kind of gimmicky to have like a
Yeah,
cliffhanger
but you
like
see,
that.
if
So,
it, I truly believe that if they would have made Band of Brothers now, they would leave us cliffhangers between each of the episodes. Because that's the way they make TV these days. They feel that they need to give you some sort of cliffhanger in order to make you say, "Oh, I want to come back and watch the next episode," as opposed to Band of Brothers, they just make such great episodes that you say, "I want to come back and watch the next episode." They don't need that extra latch at the end with, "Oh, what's going to happen to this character?" type of thing. So at this point, the two of them are still, we see the night sky, and we see a flare go up in the night sky, which it shot really well. I mean, again, I don't know if it's considered CGI or not, but it still looks really great the way they did that. I like that. And after the flare lights up the sky, we the men realize that they can be seen much easier. And at this point, the other guy besides Babe starts talking to Doc Rowe, not really sure which who the character is here, and he goes, "Hey, what do you call those people again? Those Cajun healers?" He goes, "Traitors." He goes, "My grandmother was a traitor." "Your grandmother? No sh. She was. Laid her hands on people and cured them. Took away sickness, cancer, you name it. Your grandma did that? Here, sh me." And he goes, "I remember she used to pray a lot." "Yeah, I guess she had to. Talked to God about the pain she pulled out. Asked him to carry it away. That's what she did." So you see, I what I find really funny about this conversation that they're having. First of all, I mean, as a spoiler alert, but when I spoke with Doc Rowe's grandson, so Doc Rowe apparently was th this is not true about his grandmother. It was something that. That Bruce made up to help make it more interesting. So, there really wasn't a true tease of this whole thing. But the way they describe this reminds me of what John Coffey would do when he was taking away the pain. I don't know if you've seen The Green Mile or read the novel. Have you seen or read the novel?
No, I didn't read the novel. I did see the film. That's funny because I made a note of that. But yeah, I didn't think of the Green Mile. I didn't make that connection. But yeah, when he talks about about the pain she pulled out and then asking God to carry it away. Yeah, because there's yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that in. I don't know if mysticism's the right word, or it's just kind of like the like sin eaters, that take on the sins of the deceased, but then they then carry it away. And I guess it's with healers as well. When they're taking pain from people, or curing in the modern kind of the modern phrasing. But some of that you the healer takes on to themselves, and they carry it away. And that's a way of thinking about that for what burden does the healer carry from, what do they, the what they take off of their
Exactly.
patients.
Yeah, no, just but I like the because there is some sort of connection here, because obviously Tom Hanks did the Green Mile, and you also have the whole fact that the Green Mile took place in I'm thinking that it took place in Mississippi, maybe. Trying to remember where. I mean, obviously it's in the Deep South.
I don't remember, but that sounds right. Mississippi or yeah,
Which,
somewhere in the South.
yes,
Always
yeah,
seems to be
no, but
hot.
also the
Mississippi.
sorry, it's Louisiana, Cold Mountain Penitentiary in Louisiana,
Okay.
which always make makes me
Louisiana,
laugh,
yeah.
because most Stephen King novels take place in Maine, so like, why would he transfer that one to Louisiana instead of just doing it in Maine? But that's fine. I like mixing it up.
Yeah. Maybe they don't have the death penalty in Maine, so
Ah, okay.
maybe it doesn't
That
work there.
actually
I
is
don't know. That's a guess. I don't know,
that
but
that is a
yeah.
very good question. I mean, last season we talked all about that, because in the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, when Mr. Blue kills himself, and right beforehand he asks, do they have death penalty in New York? And we discussed which states have death penalties. So interesting.
Yeah, the United States is weird because it's every state is different. We had and there was lots of death penalty for a while. They said it's unconstitutional and no one had a death penalty, and then they figured out a way they could do it that was legal. So now some states have it and some states don't, and some states have it, but then but as a practical matter, they never use it, and no one gets put to death. And then there's other states where they
Yeah, so
do put them into practice. So
Maine hasn't
yeah,
had
it's
a capital punishment resulting in death in since 1885. So unless Stephen King wanted to have the story take place in the 1800s, in 1885, while Doc Brown is trying to get out of the Old West, maybe that would work. But otherwise, I guess it makes sense of why he's going to send him to Louisiana. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation just to throw in the whole thing with the Trouteau and stuff like that, even though it's completely made up, but it gives us more about this character of Doc Rowe, even if it's not real the real Doc Rowe. That type of thing. I like the way that they depict that. We can also see how cold it is for these guys during their conversation. They have cold breath coming out while they're talking.
Well, it kind of puts it makes the conversation kind of fills in something about Roe. I think is it the third person in the foxhole? Is that Ryan? Is that Doc Ryan with them? Because that he talks about how just how you become a medic in the army. Like you're not necessarily a doctor or nurse or anything coming in. It's just someone snaps their fingers and boom, you're
Right.
a medic.
Okay. Why would you think it's Doc Ryan? Because that's how he's listed in the credits.
Well, because he well, it is like Ryan is listed like Heffron is like kind of parentheses Babe Heffron. Ryan is listed as Doc Ryan, and then he and then the I it's I'm no good with names and faces and recognizing characters, but also it's nighttime and it's dark. But he's asking Roe about his grandmother, but then he also makes that comment about they just snap of a finger and you're a
Yeah,
medic.
I wasn't able to catch
And I think
wasn't able to
they
catch
call like the
what name it is.
I know that there's a few. Yeah, that's I know there are a few other medics, and then they call them doc, like none of them are doctors, but they just they're you're a medic, you're what passes for a doctor. You're serving the function of a doctor in this situation. So yeah, they're actually they're they're a few, like two or three characters that are kind of listed as
So it's
Doc is sort of their
I mean, you
nickname.
have Ralph. It could have been Ralph. It could have been Ralph
So
Spina.
I'm
It could have
assuming
been
it's one of them.
Bernard Ryan. So yeah, I'm not sure which of them it is. And friend of the show, Freddie Joe Farnsworth, also plays a medic in this part. But I don't think that's
Oh,
him.
okay. Yeah.
So again, they continue their
Okay.
conversation, and he goes,
Yeah.
"Jesus, I'm still trying to figure out why they picked me for a medic. God knows. Snap of a finger, and just like that, you're a medic. I've had enough playing doctor. Hey, how about you?" And then Doc Rowe
Yeah.
just doesn't answer. Which again, the fact that Doc's grandson Chris told me that he didn't do anything dealing with medicine the rest of his life. They didn't even know he was a medic. So, I mean, that's something awesome. That, as far as they were concerned, they were just doing what they can to try to he did what he can to try and forget it. And that's the fact that he doesn't respond to whether it's Noza or Ryan who's talking to him. He was just randomly picked as a medic also. That's quite often how these things work. They need a guy to be the medic. All right, you're gonna be the medic. Go take care of it. That type of thing. You're gonna go through the course, and then now you're gonna be in charge of thinking about stuff like that. So yeah.
And also they just do like the most basic triage before, to get someone stable so they can be moved. It's apply a stop the bleeding, apply a bandage, apply pressure or a tourniquet, maybe place a, if a bone is sticking out, maybe like replace a bone or a dislocated joint or something. But it's basically stabilize someone and get them to the point where they can be moved to some place that has a real doctor. So it's real quick and dirty medical service, and it's not a lot of training. And as we see this episode, it's not a lot of support and not a lot of
That's
resources to
true.
work
And
with.
then we see that it's morning, and we see in the foxhole all three of these guys have fallen asleep, which I don't know if that's really a good way to be on guard duty. You probably need to have one of them stay awake. Especially if they're trying to hold the line, but these things do happen, I guess.
Yeah, I think they can be forgiven. They're woken up by it sounds like there's an explosion, but then we get sunlight. Suddenly it's not nighttime anymore.
Doc Rowe ma makes his way out of there.
Yeah, he's the first one to wake up. Yeah, and this is an interesting sequence. It's about a minute where he gets up and then planes start flying overhead.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we see it quite often that there's more camaraderie obviously between men who are of the same type of training, I guess you could say, infantry with infantry and tanks with tanks and stuff like that. But they still always enjoy meeting with the others in order to, because they need to work together. That's the thing. And so we see two planes flying overhead, and everyone starts cheering. Okay, because everyone wants the yeah they're looking for a supply drop. The men decide to try and signal the planes, and we see that Lip is quite happy also. And then we see that the planes start opening fire on them. thinking that they're the enemy.
Yeah.
And a few of them actually start shooting at the planes also. So someone screams, "Take cover!" And then they're shooting, and then Lipton goes, "Cease fire, God damn it!" And he goes, "Sergeant, I don't understand. It was our planes." He goes, "Shh." He goes, "T-47s. They're bringing supplies. It's a drop. It's a drop. Come on." And at this point, we see a whole bunch of parachutes with supplies finally falling out of the plane itself, even though they had already put the red smoke in order to tell the planes where they are. But
Yeah, we're back in town and we see parachutes everywhere. They're just landing on roofs
I mean,
and
this
the
is obviously
street
a
to set
CGI
those supplies
shot,
coming.
of all those parachutes coming out. But you also, Renee comes out of the church, and you see like her arms and or sleeves basically are there's a lot of blood. She's been, I guess, very busy. And we see a bunch of the packages fall on the fall on the roof, stuff like that, and she at this point gives a big sigh of relief, understanding that there is hope. We've gotten we've gotten the necessary supplies in order for us to at least continue to help as much as we can.
Yeah, this is a little bit of like it's darkest before the dawn. So we just had that dark moment last night in the foxhole, and a little bit of chocolate was all the comfort they had, really. And then but then the morning comes and the skies have cleared and the clouds are gone and the fog, and it's clear enough. So now they can do the they can
The
get the supply
question
drop.
is she going to be able to now replenish her stock of chocolate? That's the thing.
Yeah, I would assume so. It seemed like, chocolate seemed, not maybe the highest of priority, but seemed like standard issue. I know from like Dr. Strangelove, they kind of run down the kit that the airmen there would carry. So yeah, chocolate seemed like it was a standard issue thing, either for the soldier or something that they could use, in trade with, if they needed help from one of the locals, they would have something that would be, hard to get, during a war, but, appreciated by almost anyone. So, yeah, probably a little bit, at least one of those bundles is, maybe a replenishment for the chocolate stock.
Right.
Restock the
Okay.
candy
I mean,
machine at the church here.
that's definitely fair.
Yeah, and best of them.
And I mean, I don't think we're ever gonna find out if she gets more chocolate, but who knows? Who knows? And that is the way that this 5-minute segment ends. So, Sean, is there anything else you want to say about this particular segment or about the series in general?
I think we've kind of covered everything I had on this segment, and I think I think I kind of said everything I wanted to say about the series in general. About this was sort of a pop culture blind spot for me, or something I hadn't seen. But I definitely enjoyed watching it, and definitely enjoying kind of having the podcast along with it while it's fresh in my mind, and having the commentary to go along with it. So good stuff. It's all good
Okay.
stuff.
Well, again, I definitely appreciate the fact that you took up the challenge of sitting down and watching the 10 episodes of this. So much appreciated. To give you the full
Yeah.
overview of the whole thing.
They go very quickly. I watched it over the course of maybe 2 or 3 weeks. So it wasn't an episode every night, but maybe a night or two in between episodes, just to kind of let it soak in and assimilate what's going on before moving on to the next chapter. But I could see why this is why this is remembered and watched the way it is. I did see, I know that there's a couple follow up. I haven't seen the Pacific, kind of the follow up about the Pacific theater. I did
Masters of the Air.
see the
Okay.
Masters of Air, which was the kind of the recent series. So maybe I'll go back and kind of get the
Yeah,
third in the trilogy
the
just to
Pacific
complete the
is good.
set. But yeah, and that was good. Masters of Air, I thought was very good. But I think this is better. I think that's seems to be the consensus in terms of the story, the characterizations, the emotional impact. I felt it more with this
I
with
definitely
Band of
agree.
Brothers.
All right, excellent. So,
Okay.
that's right. Today's
And speaking of
segment
brothers,
is, just so you know, I don't know if you heard this before, but the idea of doing both bands and brothers was meant as a joke, and I took it seriously and decided to use those as segments. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
well,
So yes, today's segment is called Oh Brother, where my guests will give their top five movie brothers.
yeah. So
So once
it's
again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
all right. I'm gonna start my way five. So I'm sorry. I'm looking at my list, and I'm wondering if I want to do like a last minute reordering, and I'm just gonna go with the way I have them right here. So much like our Band of Brothers here in the miniseries, some of these are not, they're found family. They're not, brothers by blood, but they're brothers by connection and shared experience and affection for each other. So number
Okay.
five, I'm gonna go with Miami Connection from 1988. Is a film about a group of orphans who live together, and they also have a band together, and they all do taekwondo together. And then they end up having to battle a gang of drug dealing ninjas. Now they're not in Miami, so I'm not sure what the Miami connection is, but yeah, so they're, much like our band of.
That you have to ask
Yeah.
Niall and John.
But much like our Band of Brothers, where they're not related, but they're all orphans, and they all come together and they form a family, and they treat each other like brothers. So there's a lot of brotherhood there. So
Okay.
Miami Connection will be my number five. My number four is 21 Jump Street. The film from 2012, which is the film version of the television show, which is about some police that go undercover in high school. And in the film, they're pretending to be high school students to track down drug dealers. But it stars Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum, who they're not brothers in real life and they're not brothers in the film, but when they go undercover, they play brothers. So they are their cover is they are high school students that are brothers, when in the reality of the film, they're actually police officers who are way older than high school and not related at all. But they play brothers and they have a connection, and like brothers, sometimes they fight and then sometimes they get along. So yeah, 21 Jump Street from 2012 is my number four. Now we get into some real brothers here. So for number three, I have Twins from 1988, the film where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito play the titular twin brothers. And that's because, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, I mean, it's like seeing double. So yeah,
Yes, of course.
those are twins. So yeah, so that's my number three. Number two is Stuck on You from 2003, which is a Farrelly Brothers movie with their conjoined twins. So they're more than just brothers. They're stuck together, hence the title Stuck on You. The lead roles, or the brothers that are stuck together, are played by Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear. And the most of the plot, it surrounds by one of the twins wants to be an actor, and the other one is very shy. and does not. Merry mix-ups occur and hijinks ensue, from the situation, them being conjoined, and where one goes, the other must go as well. But a really good film. I mean, it's really funny, but I think it handled it, it goes to the right places. Like it could be in bad taste, just, if I say, Farley Brothers comedy, conjoined twins, and there's a lot of easy jokes and cheap humor that I think it mostly avoids. I think it's a quality film and a comedy, and just in terms of brothers, you don't get much closer than conjoined. So that's my number two
Probably
brothers
not.
movie. And then number one, I think this is coming up a lot. I'm not the first to mention it, and I don't think I'm pretty sure I'm not the first person to have listed this movie twice on the list of bands, movie bands, and the list of movie brothers, and that's the Blues Brothers, of course. Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers. That's my number one.
Okay, very cool. That is a great list. All right, so now we will play once again the game of name that World War II movie. So let's hope it's one you've actually seen and are.
Stranger things have happened. There's a chance, so let's see.
Okay. All right, this is a movie that came out in 1998.
Okay.
Okay, it is about the way that soldiers deal with the battle in the Pacific, and it's during Guadalcanal, and it's based on the autobiographical novel from 1962, written by James Jones.
Guadalcanal, 98, you said? A movie about Guadalcanal in 98. Autobiographical. Can I get a hint?
Sure, you can get a lot of hints if you want. It was directed by Terrence Malick.
I got nothing. I don't know.
Okay, it stars Adrian Brody, Jim Caviezel, George Clooney, John Cusack, Woody Harrelson, Thomas Jane, Elias Koteas, Jared Leto, Tim Blake Nelson, Nick Nolte, Miranda Otto, Sean Penn, John C. Reilly, John Safran.
That's got a cast. That's got some names to it. That's something. I
Nick
should
Tull, John Travolta.
Don Travolta.
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
All I got is like
Those are the big names.
Operation something. It's got operation in the name?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Okay. I got nothing.
It's got a color. It's once again you have a question with a color in the name.
It's not Red Tails. That was
No,
last
it is
time.
not,
It's not
but
Red
it
Tails.
that is the but that is the same color.
Yeah, I don't know. Red
It is
Tails,
a three-word
Red
title
Dawn.
and red is in the middle.
Red, blank, red, something. Red
Did
Dawn,
you hear the hint that I gave
red.
you?
So yeah, red, three words, and red is in the middle. Did I get that right?
Yes.
I don't got it. I'm sorry. I don't have it. Nope.
The thin red line.
Oh, huh? Thin red line. Oh. Yeah. Oh. I should have gotten that. Oh, no. I don't know if I should or not, but I didn't. I could have, but I didn't. But yeah, when you give me yeah. All right. Another film I haven't seen. That's my defense. Thin red line. But certainly I've heard of it, and yeah, I certainly know that, know the cast. There's a lot of names there. All right, thin red line. Yeah, all right.
For sure.
I can't win
All
them
right,
all.
excellent. So, nope, no, sorry, you can't. So, would you like to, for one last time, tell people where they can find Sean German when he's not listening to this podcast or watching Band of Brothers?
Yeah, when I'm not watching Band of Brothers or watching The Desert Fox, I am I do occasionally host my own podcast, so you can find that at nextscenepod.com. And I link to some other shows and some other things I've done, including Groundhog Minute, where I covered the movie Groundhog Day 1 minute at a time with our friend Dave Pallas, and also Spinal Tap Minute, where I covered the film This Is Spinal Tap 1 minute at a time with our friend Heidi Bennett. And then of course I've got my personal site where I list all my guest appearances on this show and other movies that I've gotten to talk with Movie Rob about. And you can find that at catandsean.org. So yeah, when you're done listening to this, if you need some more stuff to listen to, then you can kind of check those out, and that'll give you something to do.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Sean, thank you very much for once again joining me this season.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for covering this series and give me the push that I finally needed to actually watch it.
You're very, very welcome.
Yeah.
Now I have to find something longer to get you to do next time.
Yeah.
Have to raise
And
the bar, raise
I just watched The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3, like within the
the
last 2 weeks. So when you were covering it, listening along with the podcast, I hadn't seen it yet. So I don't know. It might have been on TCM or was on TV, and I'm finally like, you know what? I keep hearing about this film. I've heard so much about it. I've heard you talk about it. Here, it's pretty good. I should probably check it out, and I did, and it was. And I'm not quite sure what I expected. Again, I hadn't seen it, but other than hearing you talk about it, but I enjoyed it very much. So
Great.
watch the original. The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. I watched that and I enjoyed it. And then and then I watched The Band of Brothers and enjoyed that even more. So there you go.
I'm very happy to hear that. That's great.
So yes.
I'll be back tomorrow with another guest, but until then, curry.
Curry-hee!